the expert that's brave enough to say the word deciduous. Talking Trees with John Eisenhower. Rosie on the house.
We better get to a few of our monthly to-dos before we get through this hour. We will get to the callers on hold and the text, but we've got some talking points in our to-dos.
Yeah, we want to be... this is our month to be trimming your California fan palms. Last month, you could start trimming your Mexican fan palms, the tall, skinny ones. But if you've got the fatter, shorter fan palms, the California fan palm, the 15th of January is kind of our target time to begin trimming those. If you started trimming those sooner, you'll have late emerging seed pods, and you'll have to come back and trim them a second time. But we always tell people, if you have a California fan palm, wait till the 15th of July, and you'll be sure to get all the seed pods taken out in one trimming. It's a pain in the rear to have to jump back up there a second time and have to trim them again. It's almost double the work just to go up and pull a couple more fronds out. So also, this time of year, people ask, you know, is it safe to trim? Somebody mentioned a citrus tree. You can do some minor grooming on any trees, even in the middle of the summer. If you're just doing a little bit of nipping and tucking to kind of improve the shape of your trees and shrubs. But as a rule, we try to back off on heavy pruning this time of year on anything. You know, your mesquites and your more vigorous trees can take, of course, a little higher dosage of pruning this time of year, but just be careful. The last thing is note this month is to adjust your irrigation timers. And we'll talk a little bit about that right now. You want to be giving your plants the water they need as the air temperatures are rising and there's more evapotranspiration. The trees are losing water vapor as they're photosynthesizing. So they do have increased water needs this time of year. But how do you do that? And I would like to recommend that instead of increasing the number of days that you water your plants, I would encourage you to increase the length of time, the duration on each of your individual watering cycles. The reason being is that it's going to drive the water a little bit deeper in the soil where the soil is able to hold that water better. So don't be adding another day of watering to that cycle, because the tendency is for the water, you don't want the ground to become saturated and for you to be putting water on top of water and not allowing the soil profile to adequately dry out between watering.
I know what I do, what I'm doing when I go home.
Well, the point is, and as I just said, you want to be able to have the soil dry out adequately between watering. You do not want to be coming back to water again, no matter how much water you're putting down, before the soil is dried out. If there's still water in the soil profile that's available to the tree roots or the plant roots, you don't need to be putting water down. And the trick is to know when that time is.
There's that really great pamphlet, Watering by Numbers, that has some illustrations that show you a probe. And I know you can get them down at the U of A Extension office. But a probe will tell you if it goes in the ground really easy, it's moist. If it's hard, won't go in, it's usually dry. You kind of got to work with the rocky soils, but it's a good tool to have.
Yeah, you can look up Watering by the Numbers online. It's a great publication. Gives you kind of a step-by-step method of kind of knowing how to make sure you're watering your trees well. And the problem with overwatering, and it's a really common problem, and as I said earlier, it's often an over-response to our thinking that the trees need more water than they do. And what happens when we water too much?
Well, once in a while, or usually what happens if you're overwatering, we get phytophthora. It's a disease that's soil-borne, spreads with water, and seems to be more active when the temperatures are warm and things are constantly wet, and it will shut down the vascular system of your tree, starting from the roots going up. It infects the tree.
And it's a fungal pathogen?
Yeah, and usually the symptoms look like the tree's wilting. The tree will look wilted. it'll look a little pale green. But what's really happening is the tree's not able to take up the water because the pathogen, the Phytophthora, is in the roots.
And do you solve that by just shutting the water off and letting it dry out?
That's the first step.
That helps.
That's the first step.
Usually that might even work. A lot of times we apply a fungicide, a systemic fungicide.
Well, this is what's happening is that the fungal pathogen is attacking the root system. As soon as the root system is compromised, then you have this wilting above ground. The leaves start lose their turgor. They lose their rigidity. They start to wilt. And people immediately think what?
Water.
The tree needs more water. And they put water down, and the fungus is in the soil, and all the water does is accelerate the fungal activity in the root system, and it could even further compromise the health of the tree.
Seems like something I heard one time, something like, as go the roots, so go the shoots.
There you go. You've learned well.
Yeah.
Little grasshopper. That's great. No, as go the roots, so go the shoots. You know, and if the roots are compromised, sometimes the Phytophthora has pretty much destroyed the root system.
Correct. I mean, you can knock out the Phytophthora with the fungicide, and we also sprayed the bark with some aluminum-based or phosphite-based other fungicides that are systemic. But at a certain point, the vascular system is damaged beyond repair, and...
So the sooner you treat it, the better.
I've seen trees where we've treated them and they've gone on to grow and produce fruit and live for several years.
It's interesting, too, that Phytophthora and certain other fungal pathogens can be latent in the soil. They're there, but the conditions aren't conducive for their hurting the plant. There's not excess water. Soil temperatures are not high. Usually it's this time of year with elevated soil temperatures, presence of water. A few monsoon, no one's changed their irrigation cycle. Then we get some monsoon rains, and they're continuing to, you know, water at the normal cycle. Little bit of added water can set up the conditions for that fungus to get going, which is another point. If we get into a regular rhythm of afternoon monsoon rains for several days or a week or so, go ahead and shut your timer off. Take your timer and just put it on the rain cycle. Because you just don't want to just be sure to, you know, make yourself a reminder that once the rains have passed and you've got the forecast is dry for another week or 10 days, then go ahead and throw that timer back on and get back onto your normal cycle.
Well, we've got Tori online who has a question about an ash tree that's struggling. Maybe it's a watering issue. Let's find out. Tori, welcome to the broadcast.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
So my question is I have an ash tree that we planted about 10 years ago, and it was a 24-gallon tree. And about 2 years after we planted it, when we were getting the new leaves in, you know, in the springtime, I noticed we had aphids. So I had attempted to treat the tree naturally with natural products. That did not work. So then I ended up going down to the local nursery and purchased a product there and then applied it to the tree. That seemed to do it, resolve the issue. So we've had no problems all these years. Last year, I believe, or maybe it's been about a year and a half, we had the tree completely trimmed back. And actually, it's been 2 years. But when we got the new growth after the winter time, the leaves came in beautifully. So now we're in the second year, and I've noticed the leaves have not fully come in. I have like clusters on the branches, and which is strange. So the leaves are small and they're in like little ball clusters. And I've noticed that there's like kind of a web, like a spider web around these clusters. It's not on all of the tree. It's on about a third of the tree. I don't know if this is an aphid problem or if I have a bigger issue. Also, the trunk looks like it's starting to shed or peel.
Well, the peeling bark on the trunk is likely caused by sunburn, and ash are very susceptible to sunburn when they don't have foliage to protect them. And it sounds as if you have less foliage. Is it more of a distorted small growth, or is it?
You know, we actually lost her. I'm not sure what happened, but she's not there.
Okay.
Well, I was going to say, too, that, you know, once she mentioned that the tree had been pruned at some point, and maybe during that pruning cycle, the tree got a little bit too much sun. There was some sunburn with the peeling bark. And then what happens is once that the cambium underneath the bark that's been damaged is destroyed, there's no uptake of water nutrients through that part of the bark, and it can affect the those branches that bark used to support. And then you have thinning out, the foliage is thinning out above, letting more sunlight through, and you have this vicious cycle of sunburn and then thinning foliage, sunburn and then thinning foliage. And it's not a good picture. You know, I'm again, another reason to be very careful with pruning smooth bark trees like ash, because as Sarah said, they're really vulnerable to sunburn.
And for smooth bark trees, you've got your citrus, your ash, even some of the oaks. I know there's products like Go Natural Paint that you can apply onto it, but you guys like trunk protection with just burlap a little bit better than applying any kind of product.
Yeah, if you have some plants that you think might have been over pruned and you're concerned about sunburn, we like to physically wrap them with burlap. You know, it does give you a little bit of filtered light through. But it does give you a physical protection. The tree paints have very limited ability to protect the bark beneath them. They only lower that surface temperature about 1 or 2 degrees, so that it's not like a sunblock that will actually give you protection from the sun. If you really need some longer, more permanent protection, wrap them with a shade cloth product. Or a burlap. They sell a burlap wrap you can purchase online.
Also tree tape, too, because I have a problem with my ficus tree. It has sunburn damage. And
there you go.
It's going to town ever since I wrapped it.
Yeah, some of the hardware stores can provide a tree wrap product as well, a little tree tape.
Let's get to Bruce next on the line at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U. Bruce?
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate you taking my call. I've got a beautiful orange tree. It's about 15 feet tall and is wide. The trunk is about 10 inches in diameter. I've had it for many years. It's always produced grapefruit. And it's this year, a couple of months ago, it started to lose leaves and seemed to be losing a lot of them. I water it about every 3 or 4 days, a nice deep soaking, which is what I've done for its 10-15 years of life. I've sprayed it with a citrus spray, insect spray, and it's still losing the leaves, and there are some leaves that have a little yellow in the middle, and the leaf kind of has a partial curve to it, coil to it, and I'm perplexed because it seems to be losing a lot of leaves. A lot more than I've ever had in the past.
Well, generally, we have a kind of a standard on watering citrus, and really no more than once a week in the summer, once every week to 10 days in the summer, once every 2 to 4 weeks in the winter. So I think the frequent water might have something to do with it. You could have spider mites. You could have other things causing defoliation, but it might just be too much water.
Yeah, I'd be concerned about one of those fungal pathogens we talked about, like Texas root rot or the Phytophthora. Once they start attacking the roots, then you start getting the leaf drop and the defoliation. But there might be a good time to call in an arborist in your local area.
And they could call in somebody from Integrity Save a Tree at
602-788-0005.